They say human hands are too fragile for werewolf politics. They were dead wrong. When the sun finally rose over the stone walls of Castle Wormwood, the courtyard wasn't painted with the blood of rogues, but with the arrogance of the Alpha's elite. This is the story of Queen Genevieve, and how she butchered her husband's royal guard. The kingdom of Æthelgard was a brutal, unforgiving place, nestled deep in the jagged peaks of the Frostfall Mountains. It was ruled by the Ironfang Pack, a lineage of lycans so massive and ferocious that neighboring human kingdoms paid them heavy tithes just to keep their borders secure. At the helm of this empire was King Cedric, an alpha whose reputation was etched in the blood of his enemies. He was a terrifying force of nature, yet, in a twist of fate that sent shockwaves through the continent in the winter of 1412, the moon goddess paired him with a human mate, Genevieve. Before Cedric found her, Genevieve was the daughter of a disgraced human warlord, trained in the quiet, lethal arts of blade and poison. Though the werewolves only saw a frail, scentless girl, to Cedric, she was his entire world. He draped her in silks from the eastern merchants, crowned her with silver, and threatened to rip the throat out of anyone who dared disrespect her. But a king's protection is a double-edged sword. To keep her safe, Cedric confined her to the upper echelons of Castle Wormwood. She was a bird in a golden cage, blissfully unaware of the rot festering in the lower wards of her own home. The werewolf hierarchy is ancient and cruel. At the top are the alphas and betas, the warriors who feast on prime meat and bask in glory. But at the very bottom are the runts. These are wolves born with defects, too small to shift properly, cursed with weak lungs, or simply lacking the aggressive predatory instincts required by the pack. By ancient Ironfang lore, runts were supposed to be protected, relegated to domestic duties, but fed and housed. But laws are only as strong as the men enforcing them. It started on a freezing November morning. Genevieve had slipped away from her handmaidens to walk the perimeter of the outer courtyard, seeking a moment of peace. That was when she heard the whimpering. Tucked behind the massive oak barrels near the armory, she found Toby. He was barely 12 years old, a runt whose wolf spirit was too weak to ever manifest. He was shivering uncontrollably, his thin linen shirt soaked in blood. His ribs were bruised an ugly shade of purple, and his left arm hung at a sickening angle. "Who did this to you?" Genevieve demanded, dropping to her knees in the snow, ignoring how the icy slush soaked into her velvet gown. Toby looked at her with wide, terrified eyes.
No one, my queen. I fell. I was clumsy during the chores.
You don't break an arm like this from a fall, Toby, she said softly, brushing the matted hair from his forehead. Before the boy could speak, heavy, armored footsteps crunched against the snow. Captain Alaric and Lieutenant Darian, the highest-ranking officers of Cedric's Royal Guard, rounded the corner. Alaric was a towering brute of a lycan, his face scarred from countless border wars, wearing the silver-plated armor of the king's personal retinue. He looked down at Toby, and then at her, a sickeningly polite smile spreading across his face.
My queen, Alaric drawled, bowing his head just a fraction too slowly. You shouldn't be out here in the cold. The boy is fine. The runts are just fragile. We were running a standard discipline drill. He tripped.
A drill? Genevieve stood up, her chest tight with sudden white-hot anger.
He is a child, Alaric. He is half your size and incapable of shifting. What kind of drill leaves a boy battered behind the armory?
Lieutenant Darian chuckled, a low, grating sound. The Ironfang Pack does not coddle the weak, Your Grace. The Alpha King may have softened since taking a human mate,
But the guard must maintain the old ways. We are simply toughening the refuse, so they aren't completely useless when the rogues attack. She glared at them, her heart pounding against her ribs. The sheer disrespect in Darian's tone was palpable. They hated her. They hated that a human sat on the throne beside their legendary Alpha, and because they could not touch her, they were taking their resentment out on the only creatures in the castle lower on the food chain than a human. The runts. "Take him to the healers," Genevieve ordered, her voice trembling with a rage she was desperately trying to control.
"Now!"
Alaric's smile faded into a hard, cold line. "As you command, my queen." He grabbed Toby by the uninjured arm, yanking the boy up so violently she heard Toby gasp in pain, and dragged him away. That night, Genevieve lay awake in Cedric's massive, fur-lined bed, staring at the stone ceiling. When Cedric finally returned from a long council meeting, stripping off his heavy leather tunic, she told him everything. She told him about Toby's broken arm, about Alaric's insolence, about the term refuse. Cedric sighed, rubbing his temples. The weight of the kingdom was heavy on his broad shoulders. "Genevieve, my love, Alaric has served my family for 3 generations. He fought beside my father in the Blood Moon Siege. He is rough, yes, and the old guard's methods of training are brutal, but they are loyal." "They are torturing children, Cedric," she pleaded, sitting up. "They are hurting the pack's weakest members for sport." He crawled into bed, pulling her against his massive, warm chest. "I will speak with Alaric tomorrow. I will remind him of the protection laws. But you must understand, I cannot neuter my top commanders over a bruised runt. The kingdom is on the brink of war with the northern rogues. I need my generals sharp. Please, let me handle the politics." She pressed her face against his chest, listening to the slow, steady rhythm of his powerful heart. He was a good man, but he was blinded by brotherhood and war. He didn't see the monsters guarding his own halls. And worse, he didn't realize that by dismissing her concerns, he had just signed the Royal Guard's death warrant. Winter tightened its grip on Æthelgard. For a few weeks after Cedric spoke to Alaric, the abuse seemed to stop. But Genevieve wasn't naive. She didn't stop watching. She started taking her afternoon walks down in the lower wards, bringing baskets of bread and dried meats to the runts under the guise of royal charity. She learned their names. There was Oric, an elderly wolf with a shattered leg. Finn, a brilliant 19-year-old who managed the castle's ledgers, but whose wolf was stunted. And little Toby, who followed her around like a shadow once his arm was set in a splint. They whispered to her the truths they were too terrified to tell the Alpha King. The Royal Guard wasn't just training them, they were hunting them. Late at night, when the castle was asleep and Cedric was buried in war room maps, Alaric and his men would get drunk on fermented honey wine. They would descend into the lower wards, drag a runt from their cot, and force them into the fighting pits. The guards would stay in their human forms, but with their enhanced lycan strength, it was a massacre. They took bets on how long a runt could last before their bones snapped. "Why don't you fight back?" Genevieve asked Finn one afternoon, handing him a fresh loaf of bread. Finn offered a sad, broken smile. "With what, my queen? If a runt strikes a royal guard, it is treason. The penalty is execution by hanging. It is better to take the beating and survive. We are used to it." Her blood ran cold. The guards were using the very laws of the kingdom as a shield for their sadism. Then the final domino fell. In early January, scouts reported a massive accumulation of rogue wolves near the northern pass. Cedric had to ride out. He came to her chambers at dawn, fully armored in dark steel, his great sword strapped to his back. "I will be gone for 2 weeks, maybe three," Cedric said, kissing her forehead. "The castle is fully locked down. Alaric has command of the garrison. You are safe here, Genevieve. I promise." She forced a smile, though her stomach twisted into tight, sick knots. "Come back to me, my Alpha." The moment Cedric and his vanguard rode out the heavy iron gates, the atmosphere in Castle Wyrmwood shifted. A dark, suffocating oppression settled over the stone walls. Alaric wasn't just a commander now. He was the absolute authority. It took exactly 3 days for the guard to completely lose their minds. It was the night of the winter solstice. A violent blizzard was raging outside, rattling the stained glass windows of the great hall. Genevieve was in her solar, reading by the fire, when her handmaiden burst through the heavy oak doors. Her face was pale, her hands shaking.
"My queen," she gasped. "It's Finn. The guards.
They took him to the lower courtyard. They've been drinking since noon." Genevieve didn't ask questions. She didn't grab a cloak. She threw open the doors and sprinted down the winding stone corridors, her silk slippers slapping against the freezing masonry. She descended past the armory, past the kitchens, until she reached the heavy iron grate overlooking the lower courtyard. The scene below looked like a nightmare, painted in silver moonlight and crimson blood. 6 royal guards, led by Lieutenant Darian and Sergeant Kael, stood in a circle in the ankle-deep snow. In the center was Finn. The young man was practically unrecognizable. His face was a swollen, bloody mess, and he was gasping for air on his hands and knees, coughing up dark blood onto the white snow.
"Get up, you pathetic mongrel!"
Darian roared, taking a swig from a leather flask. He stepped forward and delivered a brutal kick to Finn's ribs. The sound of bone cracking echoed off the stone walls. Finn collapsed entirely, his body convulsing.
"Lieutenant, I think you broke him,"
Sergeant Kael laughed, leaning against a halberd.
"Maybe we should fetch the little one, Toby. See if he lasts longer."
"No," Finn choked out, trying desperately to push himself up.
"Leave the boy. Leave him."
"Quiet, runt," Darian sneered, drawing his heavy steel broadsword. He pressed the tip of the blade against the back of Finn's neck.
"You know, if I push this just an inch deeper, I'd be doing the pack a favor, trimming the dead branches from the Alpha's tree."
"Stop!" Genevieve screamed, bursting through the gate and running into the snow. The guards froze, turning to look at her. Darian didn't sheathe his sword, but he did lift it away from Finn's neck.
"Queen Genevieve," Darian said, his tone dripping with mock surprise. "You shouldn't be out in the storm. You'll catch your death."
"Step away from him," she commanded, rushing to Finn's side.
She dropped into the snow and pulled his head into her lap. His breathing was wet and shallow. He was dying. She looked up at the circle of massive, heavily muscled men.
"You are committing treason. I am your queen. And I order you to stand down and summon the healers."
From the shadows of the archway, Captain Alaric slowly walked out. He wasn't wearing his helmet, and the jagged scar on his face twisted into a vicious sneer.
"The healers are asleep, human," Alaric said, his voice a low, dangerous rumble.
"And frankly, we are tired of taking orders from a scentless, weak-blooded pet. The king is far away, playing war. Here, in the dark, the Iron Fang pack belongs to the strong.
If he dies, Cedric will have all your heads on pikes," she hissed, pressing her hands against the deepest wound on Finn's side, trying to stem the bleeding.
Alaric chuckled, a dark, hollow sound that made the hair on the back of her neck stand up.
"If he dies, it was a training accident,
or maybe the runt slipped on the ice. The Alpha will believe his brother's in arms over the hysterical sobbing of his fragile little wife. Now get out of the courtyard, Genevieve, before you slip on the ice, too. It wasn't a threat, it was a promise. She looked at the smirking faces of the six guards. She looked at Alaric, standing tall and untouchable in his silver armor. And then she looked down at Finn, whose chest was barely rising. For the first time since Cedric had brought her to this castle, Genevieve didn't feel like a queen in a golden cage. The scared, fragile girl they thought she was evaporated, replaced by the cold, calculated mind of the warlord's daughter she was raised to be. They thought human hands were too soft to exact justice. They forgot that humans didn't need claws to rip a world apart. They just needed steel. "Very well, Captain," she said, her voice eerily calm, devoid of all panic. She gently laid Finn's head back onto the snow and stood up. She didn't brush the blood from her gown. She just stared dead into Alaric's eyes. "I will return to my chambers. Do what you will." Darian laughed out loud. "Smart girl. Run along now." She turned her back on them and walked out of the courtyard, her spine straight, her steps measured. She didn't go to her chambers. She didn't go to the healers. She went directly to the king's private armory. The king's private armory was a sanctuary of violence, smelling of cold iron and oiled leather. Genevieve bypassed the massive, two-handed claymores and spiked maces. Those were werewolf weapons, relying on brute strength and savagery. She walked to the very back of the vault, where a dusty, iron-bound chest lay hidden beneath a heavy tapestry. When Cedric married her, he allowed her to bring a single trunk of personal belongings from her father's estate. He assumed it held dowry silks, heirlooms, and jewelry. He never bothered to look inside. Her father, Lord Godfrey, was a terrifying human warlord who held his lands not by matching the strength of monsters, but by studying their weaknesses. He taught her that a beast's greatest vulnerability is its absolute belief in its own invincibility. She threw open the lid. Inside lay the instruments of her true inheritance. She strapped a bandolier of throwing knives across her chest. She slid twin Damascus steel stilettos into the sheaths strapped to her thighs. Then she lifted the masterpiece, a pair of gauntlets forged with spring-loaded, retractable silver blades, coated in a dull ash to prevent them from catching the light. Finally, she took a small crystal vial filled with a viscous, black liquid. Widow's ash. It was a potent neurotoxin refined from nightshade and concentrated wolfsbane. It wouldn't kill a lichen outright, but it would paralyze their vocal cords and seize their lungs in seconds. They wanted to rule in the dark. She was going to show them what truly lived in the shadows. She slipped out of the armory and vanished into the servant corridors. Castle Wormwood was a fortress designed for giants, but its walls were riddled with narrow, hidden passages built for human servants to move unseen. For months, she had been a prisoner in this castle, mapping every blind spot, every creaking floorboard, every rusted iron grate. Her first target was Sergeant Kael. After leaving Finn to bleed out in the snow, Kael had broken away from the group to fetch more ale from the lower cellars. She tracked him easily. His heavy, arrogant footsteps echoed off the damp stone walls. He was humming a crude tavern song, entirely unbothered by the fact that he had just murdered a packmate. She positioned herself on the archway directly above the cellar entrance. As Kael walked beneath her, a heavy wooden cask balanced on his shoulder, she dropped in total silence. She landed on his back, wrapping her legs around his thick waist to anchor herself. Before his lichen reflexes could even register the shift in air pressure,
She drove her right stiletto directly into the base of his skull, slipping the thin blade cleanly between the cervical vertebrae to sever his brainstem. At the exact same moment, her left hand clamped over his mouth, the widow's ash smeared on her leather glove, pressing into his nose and lips. He didn't make a sound. No howl. No roar. His massive body went completely rigid as the silver burned his nervous system, and then he collapsed forward like a felled oak. She rolled gracefully off his back as he hit the dirt floor with a heavy thud. One down. Five to go. She wiped her blade on his tunic and melted back into the shadows. The remaining guards, Lieutenant Darian and four subordinates, had moved into the Great Hall to warm themselves by the hearth, confident that their captain, Alaric, had the perimeter secured. She utilized the high balconies overlooking the hall. The four subordinates were seated around the massive oak table, laughing and tearing into a roasted boar, while Darian stood by the fireplace, drinking from a silver goblet. She needed to divide them. Genevieve crept to the heavy winch that controlled the great iron chandelier, suspended directly over the dining table. With quiet, methodical precision, she unspooled the locking mechanism, holding the massive weight of the gear by a single fraying rope. She drew a throwing knife, judged the wind draft from the broken high windows, and threw. The blade severed the rope. 3 tons of wrought iron and burning candles plummeted from the ceiling. The crash was deafening. The chandelier obliterated the oak table, instantly crushing 3 of the guards beneath twisted metal and flaming debris. The 4th guard, Gareth, managed to dive backward, but before he could even rise to his knees, she was already falling from the balcony. She landed in a crouch before him, the spring-loaded silver blade from her right gauntlet shooting forward. It pierced his throat, pinning him to the floorboards. "Intruder!" Darian roared, the alcohol burning off instantly as his lichen eyes flared a brilliant, murderous gold. He didn't realize it was her. He just saw a dark figure rising from the smoke and flames of the shattered chandelier. He lunged at her, moving with terrifying speed, his fingernails elongating into lethal, bone-rending claws. She didn't try to block him. Human bones would shatter against that force. Instead, she dropped to her knees, sliding across the polished stone floor beneath his sweeping claws. As she passed beneath him, she dragged both silver stilettos across his Achilles tendons. Darian bellowed in agony, his legs giving out as the silver burned through his tendons. He crashed violently into the stone hearth. She didn't hesitate. She vaulted off a fallen chair, spun in the air, and drove her heel into the back of his head, slamming his face into the blazing fire. He shrieked, blindly thrashing backward, but she had already stepped into his blind spot. She wrapped a garrote wire woven with silver thread around his throat, planting her knee firmly into his spine, and pulled until his struggling abruptly ceased. The great hall fell dead silent, save for the crackling of the fire. 5 dead. Only the Alpha's right hand remained. "You." The voice rumbled from the arched doorway of the hall, deep and vibrating with an uncontrollable, primal fury. Genevieve turned slowly, wiping a splash of black lichen blood from her cheek. Captain Alaric stood there, his silver armor glinting in the firelight. He looked at the crushed bodies of his men, at Darian's lifeless form near the hearth, and finally, his gaze locked onto her. The realization hitting his face was almost intoxicating. The fragile, scentless human pet hadn't just defied him. She had slaughtered his elite vanguard in under 10 minutes. "You are a dead woman," Alaric snarled, his voice distorting as his jaw began to elongate. He wasn't going to fight her as a man.
he was giving into the beast. His armor tore apart at the seams as massive dark gray fur erupted from his skin. In seconds, he transformed into an 8-foot-tall, monstrous lycanthrope. His snarl echoed like thunder, and he charged. He was fast. Too fast. She dove to the right, but his massive claws clipped her shoulder, tearing through the velvet of her gown and carving 3 deep trenches into her flesh. She grunted, rolling across the stone floor to absorb the impact, her left arm flaring with agonizing pain. Alaric didn't pause. He pivoted, his massive jaws snapping at the air where her head had been a fraction of a second prior. She threw a handful of the widow's ash powder directly into his eyes. The beast roared in agony, clawing blindly at his burning face. It bought her exactly 3 seconds. Genevieve sprinted toward the towering statues of the ancient Alpha Kings that lined the hall. She ran up the base of the nearest statue, pushed off the stone thigh, and launched herself backward into the air, just as Alaric lunged wildly at the sound of her footsteps. As she fell toward his exposed back, she triggered both retractable silver blades in her gauntlets. She drove them with every ounce of gravity and strength she possessed directly down into his shoulder blades, aiming for the lungs. The silver burned him from the inside out. Alaric roared, a sound of pure, unadulterated torment, and thrashed violently. He threw himself backward, crushing her between his massive, furry bulk and the stone floor. The impact drove the breath from her lungs and shattered 2 of her ribs. Her vision flashed white. He ripped himself free from her blades, staggering forward, gasping for air as his punctured lungs began to fill with blood. He turned to her. His golden eyes was dimming, ready to deliver the killing blow. She was lying on her back, broken, struggling to breathe. But she had exactly what she wanted. As Alaric lunged for her throat, she drew her father's final gift from the small of her back, a heavy, silver-plated flintlock pistol. She aimed upward and pulled the trigger. The deafening crack of black powder echoed through the great hall. The silver bullet caught Alaric directly beneath his jaw, tearing upward through his skull. The monstrous lycan froze in midair, his eyes rolling back, before collapsing into a mountain of dead flesh right at her feet. Silence descended upon Castle Wormwood. The arrogant beasts who ruled the dark were gone. Genevieve pushed herself up onto her elbows, her breathing ragged, her blood pooling on the cold stone. She looked at the carnage. She had won. But the true test was yet to come. Suddenly, the heavy iron doors of the great hall burst open, the hinges screaming in protest. A blast of freezing winter wind howled into the room, bringing with it the scent of pine, ozone, and war. King Cedric stood in the doorway, his massive greatsword drawn. The blizzard had forced the rogue wolves to retreat, and he had pushed his vanguard to ride through the night to return home early. He froze, taking in the apocalyptic scene. The shattered chandelier, his elite royal guards dead on the floor, his oldest friend, Captain Alaric, a corpse at the center of the room. And there, sitting amidst the slaughter, soaked in blood and holding a smoking pistol, was his fragile human mate. Genevieve, Cedric breathed, dropping his sword. The clatter rang out loudly. He walked slowly toward her, his eyes wide with a mixture of horror and absolute awe. He didn't look at his dead guards. He dropped to his knees beside her, his massive hands trembling as he reached out to touch her uninjured cheek. What happened here? Who did this? Before she could speak, a small, tentative voice echoed from the shadows of the servant corridors. She did, my Alpha. From the darkness emerged little Toby, his broken arm still in its splint. Behind him limped Oryk, and leaning heavily against the wall, clutching his bleeding side, was Finn. The runts. They had dragged themselves up from the lower wards. Oryk stepped forward, his eyes locked respectfully on the ground. Captain Alaric and the guard. They tried to kill Finn tonight, my king. For sport. The queen ordered them to stop. They defied her. They mocked your laws. So the queen enforced them. Cedric looked at the trembling runts, then at the dead bodies of the men he had trusted, men who had abused his absence to torture his pack. Finally, he looked back down at her. The warlord's daughter. The woman who had butchered 6 elite Lycan warriors without breaking a sweat. She expected rage. She expected him to banish her or execute her for treason. Instead, Cedric leaned down and pressed his forehead against hers. I was blind, he whispered, his voice cracking with immense sorrow and profound respect. I left monsters to guard my home, and they forced my queen to become a warrior to save my people. Cedric stood up, turning to face the runts. The Alpha King, a man who bowed to no one, lowered his head in a deep, formal nod of apology to the weakest members of his pack. There will be no more abuse in Castle Wormwood, Cedric's voice boomed, carrying the weight of absolute law. He looked down at Genevieve, extending a hand, his eyes burning with fierce, undeniable pride. Because the Ironfang Pack is no longer ruled just by an Alpha. We are ruled by a true Luna. She took his hand, pulling herself up to stand amidst the ruins of the old guard. They said human hands were too fragile for werewolf politics. But as she looked at the kingdom that would now truly be hers, she knew the truth. It just took human hands to finally clean house. Do you love intense werewolf dramas filled with revenge, dark twists, and absolute power plays? If Queen Genevieve's epic takedown of the Royal Guard had you on the edge of your seat, hit that like button. Share this story with your friends who love strong, unapologetic female leads, who don't need claws to rule a pack. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel for more dark fantasy sagas, hidden secrets, and lethal romances. Turn on notifications so you never miss a tale.